Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We are on episode number
118.
Nice. All right. Wow. Oh, guys, this is exciting.
Super exciting.
This is very exciting. We are starting a brand new chapter today. Chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person.
In time, right before the new year.
Yeah, it's so exciting. This is the last chapter of this year.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, no, wait. The last episode, what I meant to say. The last episode of this year.
Good catch. But there will be more episodes of the Bhagavad Gita.
Of course, we're going to come back. But we are going to take a little break. We can probably talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we'll be back. We're taking a small little break as we do every year. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah, no.
Nothing's weird here.
We're taking a break for all of January. So we will be back in the new year in February.
Yes. Yeah, fresh and ready to go.
Yes. It's going to be so nice and so exciting. Everyone gets a little break, but we're still going to be here to, you know.
Yeah. And you're asking, what shall I do with all my time in January? You can rewatch a lot of these episodes again. There's actually people that actually do that and they tell me and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. That's so kind of them.
That is very nice of
them. So sweet. But also you can check out the YouTube. Now you can look at our crazy facial expressions.
Yeah. Many times you'll see me like on the side trying to gather my breath because I'm having a laughing attack just now before rolling. It was crazy. Priya threw me a tissue from across the table so I could wipe my tears. Like, you can't see any of that if you're just listening to the audio.
Yeah. If you want that, you can binge all of our episodes on YouTube now for the month of January.
Yeah. If you want that experience.
I don't know if I made it appealing.
Yeah, I don't know if you really want it, but like it's there.
Pretty dramatic.
It's there.
But yeah, check out our YouTube. If you want to listen to all the episodes again, feel free to.
And they find our YouTube channel by going on at Modern Yogi Podcast on Instagram.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
And clicking the link in the bio, and there you find all the platforms that you can find our beautiful podcast on.
Yeah. Oh my God, I was at the airport the other day, and it was a Kadashi, and I was like, ooh, I was trying to buy nuts at the airport, and I was like, I don't know if I can eat this type of oil. And then I literally went to our Instagram page, clicked on the link on the bio because there's an Akadashi cheat sheet on shows all of the oil alternatives. And I literally, that's the only place that I knew to go to like actually figure out if I could eat Akadashi or not.
That's so awesome. I want to say thanks to Abhijit because he thought to put that up there.
We were just
going to send it to people individually. And he's like, why don't we make it, you know, available for anyone?
It's great. So, it actually helped me a lot.
Yeah. So happy.
You know what? I just want to quickly take a little pause to assess how far we've come in these, 2 years we've been doing it together?
Almost three.
Because now that we're like wrapping up an entire other whole year together, we were just talking the last time we got together about how grateful all of us were to be a part of this team. We really felt Krishna's guidance and mercy that everything just came together and clicked. It just worked in the most magical way. And we all look back and feel like so utterly grateful to be a part of this team and to have this platform. And if you're someone who has stuck with us and tuned in, we are so grateful for you guys because we wouldn't be able to do this and have this without you, specifically you listening from wherever you are in the world, tuning in. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It means so much more than you may even realize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think if we really look at it from just like a general perspective, the fact that we are accountable to all of you to continue doing this keeps us so devotionally engaged and like, just, you know, we have to prepare ahead of time. We have to come together. We have to plan. We have to do all these things. And it's so wonderful because we actually want to be doing this, but sometimes Maya really gets in the way and they're like, oh, you feel too tired today. You don't have to read today. You know, and if we didn't have you guys to do this for, sometimes maybe we wouldn't. Right. And, but we're here, we've been doing it for 3 years and we're so grateful. We get to learn alongside with you and alongside each other, and for every person in this team that brings their incredible special intelligence that makes this work. So
thanks for sticking with us for 118 episodes.
Wow. So you know, you guys listening help our spiritual paths, help us grow and keep us accountable.
So anyways, chapter 15, guys.
All right, the invocation please, ladies.
Should we do a recap?
Oh, a recap of 14?
Yeah, but also I was just excited about like, oh my God, chapter 15.
Yes.
And you guys were like, okay, let's move on.
Chapter 14 was a very interesting one. The three modes of material nature. We talked about so many different things that one of the things we talked about was that when the final text 27 talked about the ladder of the deeper and deeper conceptions you can have of Krishna, starting from the impersonal Brahman, the energy surrounding us, to the second step up is Krishna in our hearts, Paramatma. And then the final step of like is seeing him in his form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna himself, and developing a relationship with him that's intimate and beautiful and personal. And when we connect with that, we become like a gem in a gold mine, that we become similar to Krishna in his qualities because we're refining ourselves and tapping into our spiritual nature.
And also the biggest part of that is that we're able to do that when we transcend the three modes of material nature, which are
goodness,
passion,
and ignorance.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nice.
So yeah, we you know, if you haven't gotten a chance to, I feel like most people listen to this sequentially, so they probably already heard the previous episode.
Yeah, but if you're in the mode of getting to know the modes, like figure out, actually go back to chapter 14. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right, chapter 15, text number 1, Priyadarshini.
Did we say what chapter 15 is called?
Yes, the Yoga of the Supreme Person.
Jai. Yeah. Text 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas."
Ooh.
Is this now a metaphor? What is going on?
Yeah, so basically, when I first read this, I was like, wait a second, what was the last thing we said, right? And then I look back at chapter 14, and the last thing we said was Krishna was saying that he is the basis of the impersonal Brahman. So I think, and why was he even saying that? Because in the previous text, he was talking about, engaging fully in devotional service, not getting caught up in the three modes of material nature. But I think Krishna is talking about just... Actually, what do you think he's talking about, Shama, with the banyan tree?
I mean, I literally am Google imaging banyan tree right now. It's a weird looking tree. Literally have the roots like growing up and the branches are like flowing down like hair.
Yeah. I think Krishna is talking about the banyan tree, and I think he's going to connect it. I think he's kind of like doing like one of those switches where it's like, well, let me tell you about the tree, but there's a reason he's telling us about the tree and there's a connection to all of this. And he's slowly telling us each text. So maybe we can break down the purpose for this
one. He's not just going to bring up a tree for no reason.
No.
Because I just think we just got done chapter 14 talking about the three modes of material nature, which were when we look around at this material creation, what is happening? What is what? What are the building blocks and what forces are at play? Now this banyan tree is going to put into context in a beautiful imagery of what is going on in this material nature. And each part of the banyan tree represents a different part of what is happening. So it's putting into context
further material existence.
Exactly. And it'll be, there's also going to be a beautiful connection with the banyan tree reflecting what's going on in the spiritual realm. So there's many layers that we're going to get into.
Sweet. So how do you want to do this?
Let's read the purport.
Yeah, let's dive into the purport, okay. Sentence by sentence.
All right, paragraph.
Sentence?
Paragraph, because when we read a sentence, it gets a little confusing.
Sure. Okay. After the discussion of the importance of bhakti yoga, one might question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter that the purpose of the Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas.
Whoa, loophole.
Nice.
If you try to understand Krishna your whole life, then you already know the Vedas.
Very nice.
Right, because the Vedas can be so vast and is basically a guide to all aspects of life. So Krishna is saying, you already know the most important part. So just stick to that.
I already love the beginning of this chapter. This is great.
And why is he even talking about the Vedas?
Because the tree.
Yeah. Because Krishna said that the leaves are the Vedic hymns. So I think he's explaining, he's starting with the leaves. He's like, well, let's talk about the Vedas for a second. Prabhupada's saying.
Right.
Let's define what this is. Bhakti yoga, the Vedas, how are they connected?
Uh-huh, exactly. Because many people, they haven't heard of the bhakti yogas or the Vedas. They might be like, oh yeah, I've heard something about Vedic literature. How does it all fit? Where does bhakti yoga fit into this?
Wait, how would you describe Vedas if someone has never heard that word before?
Vedas? A bunch of books of knowledge that encompass everything that there is to know.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. A manual of life.
Bunch of books about knowledge. Yes.
Nice.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Anything else?
Shama, the next part.
All right. The entanglement of this material world is compared here to a banyan tree. For one who is engaged in fruitive activities, there is no end to the banyan tree. He wanders from one branch to another, to another, to another. The tree of this material world has no end, and for one who is attached to this tree, there is no possibility of liberation.
Mm. That confused me a little bit because we were talking about the leaves being the Vedas, and then all of a sudden we're like, we can wander from branch to branch. And the branches are the like this material world. Is that what it's saying?
The leaves are the Vedic hymns. Okay. And yeah, I mean, the Vedic hymns are the leaves, and we can just go from... The leaves come from the branches, so it's all connected. So it's basically saying that...
Shama has something.
Wait. If we continue reading, they talk about the hymns and the leaves.
Okay, you want to continue to connect it, and then Shama, you can put it together?
The Vedic hymns meant for elevating oneself are called the leaves of this tree. This tree's roots grow upward because they begin from where Brahma is located, the topmost planet of this universe. If one can understand this indestructible tree of illusion, then one can get out of it.
Right. So basically the whole tree is like the tree of illusion that has different facets of it, that if we don't have the compass that is outlined in this Bhagavad Gita, we'll just be wandering material existence eternally. We'll be going from one branch to another, all over the place.
Okay, so what are the facts that we know so far? There is a tree. Yes. It is called banyan tree.
It's upside down.
It is upside down.
Very nice.
The leaves are the Vedic hymns, okay. The songs, right?
Yes.
And if one understands the tree, they...
No, if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. No. One who knows the tree is a knower of the Vedas. That's what I was talking about. Okay.
One who is in Krishna consciousness already knows the Vedas, yeah?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Any other facts that we know so far?
I mean, we want to get out of it. We want to not be wandering the branches of the tree, basically.
If one can understand the indestructible tree of illusion, then when we can get out. So
there's something about wandering from branch to branch that I don't fully understand, but I think
we'll figure it out.
This tree is a is symbolizing illusion.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're discovering.
Cool.
So this process of extrication should be understood. In the previous chapters, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of material entanglement. And up to the 13th chapter, we've seen that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the best way. Now, the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental service of the Lord. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of this chapter. The root of this material existence grows upward. This means that it begins from the total material substance, from the topmost planet of the universe. From there, the whole universe is expanded with so many branches representing the various planetary systems. Ah, so does that make sense? It's basically going all the way from the topmost from where Brahma is
from
located,
Brahma.
Through all of the different planetary systems. And that makes sense because if we don't understand how to get out of it, we're going to be going up and down the elevator of like the different planetary systems.
That makes sense.
Accruing good karma, bad karma, up, down, and we'll just stay stuck here. So the fruits represent the result of the living entity's activities, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Wow. So this tree is taking shape now.
Yeah.
So that adds to the facts we know.
What else do we know?
We know now what the fruit... Okay, we know what the branches are, the different planetary systems. And we know that the fruits of the branches represent the results of the living entity's activities.
So wait, so if you had to like describe this tree from the top to the bottom, okay?
Yes.
On the top, it would be Brahma.
Yes.
That's like the first thing it says, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there's roots.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's what they're saying. Like there's like roots of the tree. And then after that, it'd be like the trunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then after that, it would be like the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the branches representing again? The planetary systems, right?
Yeah. Branches representing the various planetary systems.
And then there's leaves. And then the leaves, you said.
Vedic hymns.
Vedic mm-hmm. hymns. And then.
We have fruits.
And then we have fruits.
Representing the results of the living entity's activities.
So would that be.
Religion.
Karma.
Oh. Economic development, sense gratification,
oh.
and liberation. Mm. There's a picture of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
I'm literally looking at that picture right now.
You are?
Yeah.
Can you send it to us? I'd love to see it. I was like literally drawing it so I can visualize it, but that sounds
I'll
better.
I'll send it right now.
My mom had sent me one picture of the tree. Ah, it's right here in the WhatsApp chat that I have with her.
You want to share it so we can all see it?
Yeah. So here's basically a banyan tree.
Oh, like text it to us?
Oh, you can show it into the screen too.
Yes. So here's a banyan tree.
Yes.
And then you have, this is very so cool. good. I'm going to send this. Okay. Save. And this one, we're going to post this on our Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
The one that Shama found?
This one?
Oh, she found a different one.
This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam that you have.
Same.
Everything represented. This is a little, that's like maybe the 1800s version. A little.
Oh, it's the old one. What did you Google?
No, this was in my chat with my mom and WhatsApp.
Super cool. Beautiful illustration.
Yeah. So basically here you have the like different desires and the fruits and at the very, very top, Radha and Krishna. Anyway, we're going to post this on our Instagram and I'm going to send this in our chat so we can all be looking at it.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. So these are the facts to be true.
Okay.
Okay.
This is...
All right, Priya, you want to continue?
Yes. Yes. Now there is no ready experience in this world of a tree situated with its branches down and its roots upward. But there is such a thing.
Mm.
So there, Prabhupada's saying like, we don't experience this in the material world necessarily, but it is true. It is real.
It happens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. That tree can be found besides a reservoir of water. We can see that the trees on the bank reflect upon the water with their branches down and roots up. In other words, the tree of this material world is only a reflection of the real tree of the spiritual world.
And it makes sense why, if we're looking at the picture, why Brahma is there. Because if we flip the image down, Brahma created everything. So it starts with the roots, the different planetary systems that Brahma goes creating from the tree. The banyan tree.
Mm-hmm. My mind is being blown. Okay. Got it.
Super cool. Okay. This reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire.
Ooh.
Just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. Desire is the cause of things being situated in this reflected material light. Meaning like, wait, I can visualize it, but I don't know if I can explain it. Anyways, let me keep going.
Try. Okay.
Well, like desire is the cause of things being situated in the reflected. So like the only reason that we are having to see this reflection is because of desire.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in a way it's cool because since it's a reflection in the water, when you go to touch it, it kind of...
It's not real. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
Yeah. One who wants to get out of this material existence must know this tree thoroughly through analytical study. Then he can cut off his relationship with it.
This is a big one because if you see, like, I won't post this on, but desire is right behind Brahma. Desire is kind of the root of everything.
It's the is it the water, you think? The reflection that we can see?
Desire.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
It's what is also separating the spiritual, true, eternal realm from us.
Yeah. Oh, it is the lake that you reflected upon, right? Because when you see the real tree is Krishna's tree right behind him in the picture.
Yeah.
And if you zoom into the branches, there's so many different images. There's one man killing another. There's two men eating. There's one man shooting an arrow. There's two people falling in love with, there's one next to religiosity. So different people are doing different things in the branches that they're climbing, and that will allow them to ascend higher or lower.
These are our activities.
Our activities.
Like religion, economic development, sense gratification. These are the illustrations of that, which is so cool.
So interesting.
All right, Shama Sangeeta, one last sentence.
Where are we?
This tree.
Oh, this tree. Being the reflection of the real tree is an exact replica.
Everything is there in the spiritual world. Wow.
Very nice.
This kind of touches upon what we've said before, that The byproduct of a source cannot contain more than the source itself. So since this material world is an inverted reflection of the spiritual realm, we cannot have more variety and more flavor than what is contained within the spiritual world. So that's for people who think, it's just a light. Afterwards, heaven is just a light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then how could the byproduct have more than the source? That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. This is super cool.
Yeah, sorry. If you were explaining this to one of your eighth graders, this whole concept.
Of the tree?
Yeah. How would you explain it?
The whole concept of the tree.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there's more to know about the tree.
Or should we do that afterwards? Because Christian is going to tell us a little bit more about the tree.
I think there is more. So maybe we can like put it down all in a summary once we have a full clear understanding.
We just know that there's a tree and it has got some interesting things on it.
Yeah. And one thing that I zoomed into was a brahmana, a devotee of the Lord. He has a sword and he's climbing the branches and he's cutting through the branches with a sword. And I thought that's a really cool visual because it's kind of like with the sword of knowledge, we're able to cut through the entangling roots of this tree.
Super cool. I love this imagery. I love whoever put this together.
And the final, Shama, do you want to read the final sentence of the purport? What is the purpose of the Vedas?
I got you.
Thank you.
The purpose of the Vedas, as disclosed by the personality of Godhead himself, is to cut down this reflected tree and attain the real tree of the spiritual world.
Beautiful.
I think like the whole, I mean, right now, as far as I can understand it, is that everything that we have here is just a reflection of the spiritual world.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before because there's always that concept of like, it's a perverted version of the spiritual world, right? Like as much joy as you can get here, it's not real joy. Like the real joy is up there. So I think that's what this tree is kind of illustrating in different words.
Yeah, that's a very good, simple way to summarize it. And I think any child would understand that, that when you go to a lake and you see the reflection of any of the trees in the lake, it's not real. You touch it and it just... It disperses the reflection. It's like chasing that mirage, chasing something that's not truly real. So let's look up and look at the real thing that's ahead.
Yep. Text two.
Yes. Shama Sangeeta.
All right. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature.
Oh, say what now? The
connected.
Modes?
The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society.
So it can get confusing because roots going up, down, all around. Say what now? Do you want to read it one more time?
Yes. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature.
Okay, pause a second. So the branches represented what again? The different planetary systems, right?
Yep.
And all of the planetary systems are fueled. They're nourished by the three modes of material nature.
Yeah, you can go up and down, up and down, up and down based off of what you're doing in these modes and how they influence you.
Exactly.
Nice visualization. Appreciated that.
Cool. The twigs are the objects of the senses.
Right. Okay.
So the things that tempt us?
Were that like sense gratification, religiosity, economic development?
No, this is different than the branches.
Oh, these weren't the fruits.
Yeah, the twigs. The twigs are the objects of the senses.
So that's like seeing, hearing, tasting.
I'm sure it'll say it more in the purport probably.
Like the senses, the things that we attract those things.
Yeah.
Attract the senses.
Yeah.
Okay. And this tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society.
So if our goal is to go up back to Krishna's real, true tree, we don't want to go down in the opposite direction by bounding ourselves further and further through our actions.
Yeah. You could go up and down on this tree, right?
Yeah.
You can go up towards Krishna or down towards the things that are binding us here.
Right.
Yeah. I think Prabhupada just goes on to kind of explain the same thing we just did. So we can read it if you guys want
to. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Should I start?
Start. Yep. Go ahead. Right.
The description of the banyan tree is further explained here. It branches spread in all directions. In the lower parts, there are variegated manifestations of living entities, human beings, animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats, etc. These are situated on the lower parts of the branches, whereas on the upper parts of the higher forms of living entities, demigods, Gandharvas, and many other higher species of life. So it's already breaking it down by, so if we said the branches are the planetary systems, it's literally telling us the lower ones are, you know, animals, human beings, and all of that. And the higher ones are like Gandharvas and demigods and all these higher species of life. So it's already illustrating that point.
Getting
too.
Closer and closer to Brahma.
Right. As a tree is nourished by water, so this tree is nourished by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we find that a tract of land is barren for want of sufficient water, and sometimes a tract is very green. Similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionally greater
in quantity
similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionally greater in quantity, the different species of life are manifested accordingly.
That's so interesting. Tell us what that means.
Wait, so if there's more mode of goodness in one part of a tree, the species of that part will be in the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
And if there's a part of the tree that is more mode of ignorance, then all of the species that manifest from that part of the tree will all be in the mode of ignorance.
Yeah, whether it's like humans or animals or demigods, because even demigods can have the three modes, right?
Yes.
So like Shiva is often known for like ruling over those who are in ignorance and this and that. And, you know, so like that, just everything can be divided.
Nice.
Okay, Shama.
All right. The twigs of the tree are considered to be the sense objects. By development of different modes of nature, we develop different senses. And by the senses, we enjoy different varieties of sense objects.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, it actually kind of goes to say, the next, read one more sentence.
Yeah. Because the tips of the branches are the senses.
Okay.
The ears, nose, eyes, etc., which are attached to the enjoyment of different sense objects.
Okay.
So
then it keeps going. One more.
Yeah. Okay, cool. the subsidiary roots the twigs are sound, form, touch, and so on.
The sense objects. So it divides it by like not just your ear, but then also sound, form, touch. So like the things that you can do with those.
Yeah. So the tips of the branches are the actual senses, but the twigs are the actual like sound, form, touch, and so on.
The ways to enjoy the senses.
Perfect. Okay. Yes. Makes sense.
Interesting.
All right. Makes sense so far? Anything else on that?
Sounds good.
The subsidiary roots are attachments and aversions, which are byproducts of different varieties of suffering and sense enjoyment.
Oh, so like based on this, how we enjoy certain senses, then attachments and aversions grow from that?
Grow from the roots, yeah.
Interesting.
The tendencies towards piety and impiety are considered to develop from these secondary roots, which spread in all directions.
Oh, wow. So, based on suffering or sense enjoyment, we either get piety or impiety.
Yeah. So yeah, based off of the senses, we do things with our senses. We create attachments and aversions. And based off of that, we can either turn towards God or turn away from God.
Oh, very good summary.
Right? All right. The real root is from Brahmaloka, and the other roots are in the human planetary systems.
Roots, because the roots are... interesting. So I guess there's more than one root. The main root is Brahma.
Right, because it all stems from Brahma. He created the planetary systems and all the other roots stem from that.
Got it.
Yep. Okay. And he's at the top.
Okay. Yes.
All right. After one enjoys the results of virtuous activities in the upper planetary systems, he comes down to this earth and renews his karma or fruitive activities for promotion. This planet of human beings is considered the field of activities.
The field of activities will follow us the rest of our lives. So what
this
again?
This planet of human beings. So the world, that's what it means.
Yeah. Wait, going back to like your Teresa, your grandma Teresa.
Yeah.
Right? If she spent her whole life like dedicating her life to Lord Jesus Christ, she heads up to Jesus Loka. Yeah. She enjoys there based off of her just being a good person and being devoted to Jesus.
Yes.
And then at some point she has to come back down and renew her karma.
Right. Except I actually don't know, because I didn't tell you guys the full story about my grandma, but she's been serving Krishna for the last many, many years. She makes food for Krishna. It is offered. She goes to the temple. She has done service at the temple. So it's quite a plot twist, but we'll keep her as Grandma Teresa, who worships Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
but
yeah. That'll just be easier for me to understand.
And let's remind our listeners, what does field of activities mean?
Oh, the material world.
The material world. Boom. So it's like, really, this earth where we are on is a neutral place to either go back up or go down.
To enact our activities or to stop the activities that we can go back to Godhead.
Yeah, hopefully stop our activities and get beyond. Let's just leave this upside down, confusing banyan tree and go to the real deal.
And when we mean activities, we don't mean like don't do anything. We mean karma. So like good karma, bad karma, it all ties us together. You know, we've talked about this before. So it's just like, how do we not do karma? Like, how do we not have good or bad karma anymore? We do spiritual activities because those are without a karmic weight, whether positive or negative. They just kind of neutralize.
Yeah. You know, in a way, I was thinking as we were reading this, thinking, okay, so what does this all mean for our real lives? And then I thought, at this point in the Gita, Krishna has said a lot of different things to Arjuna. And in a way, with this whole banyan tree analogy, he's giving Arjuna a little like roadmap of everything discussed so far and how it all fits together, right?
Like a visual representation of everything that has been spoken thus far.
Right.
And you know what's so interesting is that you saw that little devotee man on that picture with the sword. And I think that relates to the next verse, actually. Like, why does this nice little devotee man have a giant sword?
Ooh. Why does this sweet little devotee man have a giant machete?
Yeah, like a machete, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, should we go on to
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, text 3 and 4.
Shamali.
Okay. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Therefore, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns. And there surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Whoa, this is really weighty, no?
That makes sense, though, but that's so cool.
It's like this whole tree has all of these things. It has Brahma, it has the demigods, it has our attachments, our senses, the things that we're attached to, like everything that keeps us in all these different planetary systems. It has all the modes, it has everything. But how to get out of this and to Krishna is like to strike down these roots with the weapon of detachment. That's why that sweet, sweet devotee boy is holding on to a giant machete.
Yeah.
Because he has that weapon of detachment. If we can detach from all of these things, we can go to Krishna.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, never mind. I was going to say, what specifically were the roots?
I forgot already.
Yeah, it's so interesting. But
this
it's like
Kali
so much
Yuga
information.
Memory. The Let's roots see. Are going down, and these are bound to fruit of actions of human society.
The roots of the tree go down. I mean, up.
So the branches of this tree, okay, the twig, sense objects, the tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruit of actions of human society. So what's the question?
What if the roots aren't actually anything?
It says this tree's roots grow upward because they begin from where Brahma is located. And then I remember earlier we said something along the lines of the roots were connected to this material world. That's what it is. I remember having that saying it, but I don't remember exactly where it is in the purport.
And then there's another one where it talks about the subsidiary roots are attachment and aversions.
You know, it's interesting because Krishna's not coming out with this text right off the bat from the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And he's saying like, cut down the roots with the weapon of detachment. But now after we've been at it for now 15 chapters, when he says weapon of detachment, that has a lot behind it. We talked about not being attached or averse to things, being equipoise, not hating a material creation nor yearning for it. Being detached, being above it, transcending it. So weapon of detachment said now at this point in the Bhagavad Gita, has a lot of weight and has a lot of backstory behind it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we go one sentence at a time?
Yeah. Before we break that down, I found it.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, so now the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental service of the Lord. Mm. The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of this chapter. The root of this material existence grows upward. So these roots... Was that the word we were looking for?
Roots. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yay.
The roots. I know, but when reading through all of this, you get caught up in which word. Yeah. So the roots of the material world, that's what detachment is cutting.
Mm. Right. It's so funny. When you almost forgot what word you were looking for, it reminded me of when we enter this upside down banyan tree, we might almost forget what are we doing? And we'll go up and down.
It's confusing.
And it's way confusing.
It's branches, roots, leaves. Yeah, that's a lot.
Fruits,
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Shyamalan, can we do one sentence at a time?
Yes. Do we want to do the text or the purport?
The text.
The bolded part.
Okay.
Yeah. The text. Oh my God, I'm getting confused in this tree, man. I feel like I'm in the tree right now.
Me too. Okay.
It's that end of the year feeling.
Nice. All right. Okay. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. Okay. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. Yeah, it's confusing. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns.
So Goloka.
So Krishna is.
Okay. And there... surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Oh my gosh, guys, this is almost like Krishna's going to be like, it's going to get confusing, but don't forget this. Like we're on this journey and we have to try to really hard, like along the way of life after life, we might be like, wait, what am I doing here again?
Yep.
And get a little fuzzy brain. But we have to remember what is the goal.
Oh yeah.
We can't get fuzzy brain. Yeah. And so getting back to Krishna is the real goal.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
It's interesting because in the purport it says, since the root is upward, the extension of the real tree is at the other end.
Mm.
Interesting. But when we're entangled with the material expansion of the tree, one can't see how far it extends nor where it begins. Yet one has to find out the cause. I am the son of my father. My father is the son of such a person. I am this, I am that. And that's how we start getting entangled.
Yeah, it says by searching in this way, one comes to Brahma. So actually by being able to look like, who's my father? Who's my father's father? Who's this?
You asking find questions.
Who am I? That's the question that we're right. going to. By you come to Brahma, who is generated by the Garbhodaksha Shai Vishnu.
Yep. Good.
Finally, in this way, when one reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the end of the research work.
I love that. God, research work.
Good.
Yeah. So that's basically right. Like you're just looking within until you figure it out. And so similarly, this tree, if we can kind of figure out where it comes from, where it ends, if we can really understand this tree, then we can find that at the other end of it, Krishna is there.
Yeah. Mm. And understanding, seeking to understand is an important like word there, because it's through that understanding that we gradually become detached from this false reflection of reality. And by knowledge, only by knowledge, that's when we can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree.
Amazing.
It's like when you're doing a thesis and you're trying to figure out like, what is the point of everything? And once you ask deeper questions, and you find Krishna, that is the end of your research. That's the end of the thesis.
I love that, because you can't reach the end of the research in this realm, because we don't know where the roots, it ends on the other side with the real tree. That's the like graduation dissertation going to be presented to the professors.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, should we do text 5?
Wait, is there anything else on the purport?
It's kind of just saying the same stuff about like, you know, if we surrender to Krishna, then, you know, there's a place where we can go to Krishna Loka, and a place where we never have to return from, because this tree that we have is a false tree, but Krishna has the ultimate tree of pleasure and where we can be happy.
And I want to leave it on one note of, because in the end of the purport, they use the word surrender like 20 times. Mm-hmm. And in this material realm, surrender has a, we've talked about this, surrender has a really negative connotation of giving up freedom. But when we truly understand what the word surrender means, surrender is the path to the highest form of freedom, to the most real conception of reality. And that's our eternal reality there with Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhupada says, therefore, to get out of the entanglement of this strong banyan tree of material life, one must surrender to Krishna. Mm. As soon as one surrenders onto Krishna, one becomes detached automatically from this material extension.
Mm.
I don't know why that line that you just read, Shama, made me think of a song by this old band called Genesis that says, you gotta get in to get out. Mm.
And you gotta, I wish I never got in and I now want to get out.
I know, right?
Here's a machete.
And you got to get in to Krishna's will and surrender to get out.
Nice. Very
good,
nice.
Point. Good point.
I guys, think we might actually not have enough time to do another text, guys.
Yes. I know. Yeah. And the next time we get together, ladies, will be the next year.
Yeah, 2025.
Whoa, so exciting. Oh my gosh.
It's really great. Thank you so much for sticking with us for so long.
Yeah.
We're so happy you're with us. And then in the new year, we'll be on chapter 15, text number 5.
Can we leave with a little intention for the wrapping up of this year?
Sure.
Because the people are about to end the year. So why don't we have the intention to 1% more of surrender, 1% more of letting Krishna's will govern our lives, and 1% more of listening to Atma Yogi podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, chanting, hearing, remembering the names of Krishna.
Beautiful. All right, guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.